station.
The following sponsor program is paid for by Twin Fin Media.
Michael Sprouse, and we are broadcasting live from the incredible Browse About Books, located at 133 Rehoboth Avenue in the heart of downtown Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. You are in the house of Sprouse, and we're going to take a jump to the creative side of the surf. You can check out our live video stream of this entire broadcast that's happening right now, this very second, at facebook.com/coastalae. All of this is possible thanks to our amazing sponsors, the Residences of Lighthouse Cove, Dewey Beach, Cuvée Ray Wine Bar and Restaurant, Charlie's Messina Plumbing, Electric HVAC, and Sprouse Thompson Real Estate Associates, and Peninsula Fine Art and Custom Framing in Lewis, Delaware. I hope you all are doing really well. It's a little funky out there weather-wise. It's sort of like, I walked here because it's just easier than finding parking. It was like, I've not actually been in London, but I had the feeling this is what it must be like.
I've been to London.
Have you? Is it like that? Like foghorn, which is sort of crazy. But I think it's sort of fun. It's a different, neat, different thing. That, my treasured listeners, is the voice of Leah Beach, my dear friend, incredibly talented photographer, visual artist, executive director of so many, well, now it's a developing artist collaboration, which is great. Are we picking? We didn't get to a little closer to that mic, I think. Here we go. So welcome, Leah, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
I'm happy to. I've tried to get you on the radio show many times in the past, and we can never make it happen. Because yeah. I've had this show for almost 2 years now. It'll be a 2 years in November, and you're a very busy person.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a crazy ride. I remember the last time was at the Dewey Sippin' Shop. I was like, call Michael Sprouse 11:30, call. And then I looked at my watch. We had the power go out
yes.
in the middle of it. And I looked at my watch. It was like 12:45. I was like,
How did this happen? Well, you know, when you're out there doing, sometimes things happen.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes nature steps in and the lightning strikes and the power goes and things get really crazy.
Or just really poor quality bulb lights.
And then that can happen too. But so the last time I saw you, actually, you had just finished this gloriously beautiful mural on Rehoboth Avenue on the side of Ocean Glass Inn.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about that project, how that ended up on your radar.
Very quickly. It's so the owners, so Jadine is absolutely amazing, and she messaged me on Facebook, and my good friend Donnie Howell and my friend Bert, they were doing like painting and landscaping there, and they recommended me to come in and do the mural, and she just went on my website, and I haven't updated it in a really long time. Yeah, so she just kind of took a leap of faith, and she really needed it done, and to be completely honest, it was something I really needed financially. So I've never painted on brick. I've never painted something that big before. I just kind of got on a ladder
and
hoped
for the best.
It. Yeah.
Knocked it out. You did a great job. It's a huge mural. And it's beautiful. So you actually, there's representations of sea glass that sort of arc, I guess, the logo in the middle. It's beautiful. Really phenomenal.
Well, kind of ended up being a little different than we anticipated. So the logo's in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And her business card, it is what I kind of looked off of, which was pretty funny because people would walk by and be like, are you looking off a business card to paint a mural?
Of course. Yeah.
So the entire business card is that ocean or that sea glass that's all around the logo, but there's like a white border. So kind of making that decision that it needed to be broken up a little bit. So it was originally going to be the entire wall was going to be that sea glass, and then the logo would have been lost.
Yeah.
So then I kind of just arced it up and then kind of ran it across the top of it. So it kind of has this cool ocean flow to it, and it just kind of encapsulates the logo in the center, which honestly, the logo took me more time than the sea glass.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
It totally did.
So this was sort of a discovery process for you, because you'd never done, I mean, that's a major undertaking.
That's what all of my art, well, my painting career, anyone that knows me, it's so funny because they like to ask me questions about like how this has all kind of come together, like me being a mural artist, and I still don't really consider myself that.
Painted a very successful mural, I would say.
I just kind of picked, it's funny, like I've really just been painting for 10 years, and it just kind of started with doing chalkboards at the Starboard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it grew into just people recommending me to do other chalkboards, and then that grew into the mural at Egg, which that was really kind of what set off the knowing, like, oh, I can paint I can do this too.
Yeah, this is a doable thing.
It just kind of, and now it's grown into this, and I've already been contacted about some other cool projects.
Fantastic. Yeah, well, so. You know, here at Browse About Books, which of course, in case anyone was living under a rock, this is where we've been broadcasting live from for about a month now. There's beautiful murals all that adorn this bookstore. And Steve Crane and I, the owner, were talking earlier. I actually met one of the artists that, I don't know if she's painted a mural, but she has some of her work is permanently in place on the outside of the shop. And I think murals are important. I think they not only do they enrich, you know, the landscape of the places where there's a glorious mural that just was unveiled Friday.
Oh my gosh.
In Lewis.
Oh, he did an incredible job.
That's incredible. Damon Plaw's mural, which is just breathtaking. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see more murals around. I think, you know, they also end up adding to the history, I think, of the city.
Totally agree. I found a big issue has kind of come that people definitely have the idea of wanting a mural, but they don't necessarily understand how to fund a mural. So I think that that is when that kind of changes. And this isn't just with murals, but this is just with working. I've worked with a lot of businesses. Mm-hmm. I've worked with some amazing businesses that I've said, this is a price. And they've been super supportive and super awesome about that. And their artwork reflects that. Mm. I've met with people that have been like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And so it's just people valuing art. And that is the whole purpose. I started DAC. A part of that has a lot to do with our community embracing the art and respecting it and knowing that, you know, a mural like that, nothing like that in the world exists anywhere, nowhere, which is so cool. Same with the artwork on the outside of this building. Mm-hmm. Nowhere in the world is there artwork like that. You have a one-of-a-kind piece of art. It's not like a print you got off of Amazon.
Correct. That's a great point.
Yeah.
You're right. And in fact, the DAC, you're using this organization to enlighten artists based upon some of the great information that you sent me so that they can, you know, become aware of the opportunities and how to get involved and maybe to further their career and their professional stance as visual artists. I think it's so commendable. You've had this organization for a while now, but you just recently rebranded, correct?
Yes. We've kind of formed in 2015 with a concept, and then 2017, I incorporated us into a nonprofit. We got our 501c3 in February of 2018. So we're
it's on a lot of work.
It's been
congratulations
a
on all that.
Thank you.
But you guys have done a lot, and you're very active. So I mean, anyone that spends any time on social media, that's maybe even connected to the arts around here, can see that because you're always your organization is usually behind some very fun events, often related to arts and crafts, all throughout the area.
Mm-hmm. It's been a real journey to figure out what our purpose is. And that is a big reason why we rebranded. We're still the same people. We have a lot more artists now. We have, since we've started, we've had roughly 175 artists that have participated with us. Of that group, we have about 75 to 80 that are engaged with us. Mm. And of that group, we have about 30 that are actually working to become staff artists and like really engaged with showcasing their artwork and being involved with our volunteering. So kind of our concept has grown into we grow the career of the artist and then we ask them to give back through our charitable initiatives as well as our income generation. So our goal is in 5 years to be completely sustainable off of our Dirty Hands DIY station, which we'll talk about, as well as with our beautification and mural initiatives and also our artist management program. So essentially kind of having this idea that you empower the artist to give back in a charitable way and they embrace that concept because they're able to grow their career in return.
That's lovely. That's wonderful. Phenomenal. And everyone's getting involved on that process when you're part of that, it sounds like to me, and it certainly makes a lot of sense. When you say give back in a charitable way, what would that consist of for a visual artist in this scenario?
I probably should roll it back to like kind of where this whole concept came from. So there's no other organization in the state of Delaware that's operating like us. As far as I know, I haven't found another arts organization that operates as well like how this is. This is because when I was 24, I basically jumped on a plane and moved to Kenya for my photography goals.
Yeah.
And when I was there.
See you later, everybody.
Yeah, see you later. I was super lucky that I worked for a really cool organization called Global Vision International, and they kind of embrace volunteers to take on whatever they want to help a community. And I just was super fortunate that I was able to work with all these different groups in healthcare and community development and through the schools. And I found as an artist, I was able to use my skills, simple graphic design, and I could make a whole malnutrition program for mothers to help and mentor them to find the proper foods in the stores and
wow.
how to, like, they can go into a guidebook and see, okay, so my kid has alopecia. It's a vitamin D deficiency. These are how I can budget for the foods at the local store to help. So it's this concept of working with someone that has that information and being a knowing simple graphic design, making that resource.
That's phenomenal. So this is through visual communication, it sounds like.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And it's essentially this organization just empowered me. And then I also worked with a women's group photographing and making a catalog of their items. And now they're in the process of exporting those into Globin, which is like a at-home box you get. They'll get enough money for an entire year to send their kids to school and to feed their families.
Wow, that's
so
phenomenal.
It's just this idea, like, I felt so empowered as an artist that just being able to photograph, make some graphic, like Photoshop some stuff together for them, I was able to use the skill that I have to empower people and change their lives. And the kind of the conversation of this is like, so this is skilled volunteering. This isn't just like Joe Schmo jumping on the, you know, the church retreat to Haiti. You know, this is taking skilled volunteers and putting them in a situation they can give back charitably. And it empowers their career because this is also a great story I can tell. This is something that's going to grow my portfolio. It's going to really expand my reach as an artist and gives me culture and gives me this opportunity. But you're helping people in a situation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of, I've been simmering on this for a while, this idea of skilled volunteering. So now taking that concept and bringing it home. Essentially, our ArtReach program is our charitable initiative. So right now we have an after school program at Beacon Middle School. And the whole purpose of this, I was trying to figure out what's the easiest way we can start doing these initiatives through DAC. And I just I was bartending at Gary's and met principal Dave Frederick and spun this idea. And then we made it work with one of the teachers, Denise Matthews. Like, she wanted like some sort of after school arts program. So I taught the first one at Creative Photography last fall. And then this spring I brought in another artist and he did illustration and I did creative photography. So essentially what the whole purpose of the ArtReach program is making these really cool initiatives. So for example, we want to start a handicraft program with some at-risk groups. So candle making, soap making, and try to inspire some at-risk groups, whether that be people in homeless shelters or people that are dealing with life crisis, and getting them engaged in the arts. So essentially I take you as an artist and I say, hey, what do you think about this concept? Do you want to teach art or do you want to come and help with this? And you come in and you empower another community member or a kid or something like that, you get volunteer hours that go into us building your career. So ArtReach is right now just the after school programs, but we're hoping as we get more resources, which we just got a grant from the Longwood Foundation.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, we're really excited to go towards this whole it's so interesting to see how the grants, we put out a lot of grants and some organizations were like, this isn't sustainable. But Longwood really researched this and we gave them tons of information about the sustainability of this and they were blown away. So
that's
it was
phenomenal.
It was so cool to like get that feedback from them. The board of trustees with Longwood were just absolutely like, could not believe this whole concept. And when we broke down all the sustainability and long-term, like they just loved our model.
That's so brilliant. Really cool. Because I will say that there's many great artist-based organizations, you know, in the state, in the locally, regionally, nationally. We all know them. But it does seem like, and of course, I don't mean this as a blanket for all of them, but when you're a visual artist and you get involved in a lot of these groups, the goal is, ultimately, I'd like to have an exhibit here, and I would like to meet some other artists and talk about technique. And it sort of stops there.
That's why it's so funny, that's why we don't do that. I was really lucky the day I started DAC, I met Sheila Bravo. She was working for Dana, but she used to run the Art League.
Yep, I remember.
And she was like, I'm going to give you the best advice anyone can give you. Go see what the Art League does and don't do that. What the Art League, but mostly it's like, this is something really great that's already offered in our community.
Yeah.
So how can you be different? How can you be important?
Sure. Yeah.
And that was the best advice because that's when I was like, okay, so what can we offer? And then that's where I kind of got this like professional development.
Yeah, right on.
So essentially, like, the kind of like our model is we give resources for these artists. We do website building, logo work, marketing, group critique. We do, instead of having a gallery, we'll never have a gallery, but partnering them with local businesses to kind of turn
gallery space.
Yeah, absolutely. So we look out, we think that galleries, they reach beyond white walls and soft lighting. We think that anywhere can be a gallery.
Yeah.
But also, like, when it comes down to it, like, how to start a business, how to budget, how to start a sole proprietorship or an LLC, how to make contracts, how to copyright, how, all these things.
All very important things very that important. A lot of visual artists are just clueless about.
I gotta tell you, and pricing. Like, this is another thing is, everyone is so around the board when it comes to mural pricing or doing artwork for businesses that a lot of businesses take advantage of artists around here. I know that for a fact because I've bid it out. And then luckily, the main artists that really I work with that do the same thing as I do, we match our prices.
Oh, right on.
Because that way people are, it's more fair. So that's kind of what struck me is this is really important. And when every artist should have a business card, a brand, a logo, a website. So what we're really pushing towards is teaching them how to build their own website.
Yeah.
So maintaining it, making it sustainable. So
and to step outside the starving artist mode, which has always driven me insane.
It's the worst. So that's like our I just redid our whole website, and the biggest thing on our artist page is no more starving artists.
Excellent. I didn't know that because I'm like, oh no, that's so self-defeatist.
It is. But so kind of how this like beautiful thing spins all together is the artists give back through ArtReach, which is our charitable initiative. And that's going to grow the more artists we have involved with that.
Excellent.
So how we entice them to give back through that is we offer more resources. So as we have more money, we can offer more resources. So that was really what we just got the grant for, was to be able to give our artists more. So they want to give back more through ArtReach.
Fantastic.
And that's also beautification initiatives. We eventually want to have community gardens and, partner with local assisted livings, really branch out with this concept, and just taking on anyone that's like, hey, I have this idea to help out in a creative way, and that could be
how
could
I fit into this?
You know, that culinary, brewing, music,
performing
arts, everything. Yeah. We think that long term, this is gonna expand and grow because we are all about empowering individuals to. Just bring their ideas.
Love it.
Yeah.
So do we? I know we don't have a whole lot of time left in this first half hour, but I'm going to. So you might stick around if you're floating around for the second hour during our live, our continuation of our Facebook live stream. But you'd also mentioned the DIY initiative. So let's give a little bit of sound to that.
Well, if you like, I've really kind of left off our events and our DIY because a lot of people know us as events. So if we come back, I can tell you about what we're opening with our DIY program and our events because that's kind of the third tier of our circle of how
I know we still have a few more minutes, but what is, for someone that just wants to get much more information than you and I are able to give right now, where would be the best place for them to go? To the website or your Facebook page?
I'm almost done with our website. The biggest reason why the website's not done is because of the DIY space we're opening. It's been interesting to try to figure out how we're doing those bookings and that information. So it's almost done. It should be up by the end of this weekend. But right now, just follow us on Facebook or follow us on Instagram. We're the Developing Artists Collaboration. Developingarts.org is our website. It will be live next week.
Hey, nice.
We also are announcing all of our events for the rest of the year, as well as for all our artists that are listening that probably are like, wait, we haven't heard about any of this stuff yet.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. You'll be getting a lot more information about all of these things we're going to offer you guys with career coaching, logo branding, marketing, as well as opportunities for them to showcase their artwork. They're going to get that information hopefully by next week as well.
Yeah, right on. No, it's fantastic. Well, you've taken on a large sort of swath of elements, and which is phenomenal.
Yes.
And it takes time to develop those, but you guys are doing such a good job of putting it out there. I'm thrilled.
Well, the biggest thing right now is just sustainability. So I'm retired from bartending last September. I took a leap of faith, and we had budgeted for me to be able to have a livable wage, but unfortunately, it made a lot more sense for us to take that money and put it into Dirty Hands as well as our model. So it's been tough to say the least, but it'll be, I got to go paint a mural for 2 weeks, guys, and we'll do DAC as soon as I'm done. So that was, this saved me, and it's been really tough, but like we have a killer team now that are super
fantastic.
Dedicated to
it's so exciting and thrilling. And every time I talk to you about this or run into the enthusiasm, it's just, you know, it's palatable. And I'm like, yeah, do it. I mean, you guys have done so much. And I think it's such a wonderful opportunity. And really, anyone, even, I mean, if anyone just wanted to volunteer, I mean, anyone that may be listening says, oh, this sounds like the most wonderful, beautiful thing I know. Oh, how can I get involved? They can just reach out to you.
Totally. We have a volunteer application. I was at the thrift store that's across, that's in the Forgotten Mile. That's not New Life. All Saints?
I think so. One of them, yeah, I can't remember the actual the name of it.
But we were there yesterday, and we bought a really cool couch. But when we were talking to the woman that was there, she was the manager. She was like, if you have volunteers that can come down and work for us, they can pick you as their charity, and we will give you $750 for a month of volunteering. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
If I have someone that will go work in the thrift store and bring
everybody
us that money. But the cool thing is we offer awesome perks for our volunteers. So we believe that anyone that gets involved with us is a skilled volunteer. And even if you can come and help with our events, just giving out information, we give you volunteer hours for that, and you can get free access to our events like Taco Mania. You can get DIY vouchers so you can come and get creative with us. And our goal is that we are taking regular people on the street, getting them engaged in the arts, and then letting them kind of find their creative outlet and them also getting involved creatively with us.
That's phenomenal. Yeah. That's very, very exciting. I don't know how much time we have left here, but so we have, a little voice just told me 2.5 minutes through my headset, which is, I always like that when that little helpful voice comes in here. So what the next event, the next big event for you is what that we can sort of put out there?
We're launching Art on Tap, which is really cool. It's essentially, we partner with breweries every month. We were supposed to start last May, but got a little crazy with timing with Dewey Beer Co. So we are going to be moving Dewey Beer Co. to the holidays, but we are starting at Crooked Hammock. It's on the third Thursday every month. We're going to be actually branching out and heading up to Wilmington. That's really cool with Belafonte Brewery. So that's going to be really cool.
Do you see this becoming a statewide, eventually a national? I mean, I know you, and I think that you...
I want an international nonprofit in 10 years. That's my goal. My long-term goal is that we're placing any artist into an artist management program and partnering them with NGOs in developing countries. Because that's...
Wow.
I just did that in Haiti back in January, just to solidify that, like, yes, you can partner artists with organizations in developing countries, and you can change lives.
That's
so
phenomenal.
That's my goal, long-term.
If you... And whatever little bit of time we have left, and I know that all volunteers are always helpful and desired, but if you needed right now, if you said, oh, we need more volunteers than this, what would that be? Or is there one particular area?
We need people to help us. Like, we right now, little things, like, I would love to have a group of people to help me move some stuff over to one of our buildings. We are going to be painting our wall in West Rehoboth soon, but even just having people that want to get involved, and we really need help with art tenders for our DIY program, and you don't necessarily have to be an artist to be able to help with that.
Hey, well, it's good to know. A lot of people, I can't draw a stick. You know, I don't
know.
Which is
totally cool.
Matter. Come on,
you
down.
You can answer a phone.
Yeah, that's right. You did all types of fun things you do. I want to thank you so much for being my guest this morning. It's always a thrill to be around you. Your energy is just captivating, and you guys are doing so much good work. Everyone's got to come see that mural on Rehoboth Avenue. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you may be around the second if you see me sitting here going, oh, Leah, come on over. Then pop on down here for our Facebook stream. And that's between 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock, of course, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/coastalAE. What is the quick shout out for DAC on Facebook? Do you know what the... It's Facebook.com.
Facebook.com/ Dewey Artist Club.
There you go.
But we're still transitioning.
Yeah. No, it's all good. There's no wrong with it. It's all great stuff. Our music is coming in. So we're going to take our first break. Leah Beach, thank you so much. We'll be talking to you again soon. Don't go anywhere, folks. I'm your host, Michael Sprouse. This is Coastal A&E. There we go. That was my music. I sort of missed the cue. I was busy conversing with my next two guests, but about theater, which everyone knows is a passion of mine. I have here Cheryl Graves and Leslie Snowden-Jones. Leslie is the assistant director for the Dixie Swim Club, which opened last night, Possum Point Theaters Playhouse in Georgetown. And Cheryl Graves, you're one of the actors in the show. Congratulations. You said it was a good night last
night. Thank
you. Opening
it was a
night.
Good night. It was a fantastic night. We've been looking forward to this for so many months. So we were anxious to get it up and running.
Right on. This is great. So I'm not familiar with the production, but I've been reading a little bit about it. It's described as a heartfelt, yet it's a comedy, but a touching comedy. So it falls into the that sort of emotional fun trigger with a lot of laughs, I guess. But this is a play. All women are in this cast, correct?
Yes, and a woman director and me as assistant director.
Oh, fantastic.
But you're exactly right. It is reminiscent of some sitcoms you may have seen where it's a group of women who come together, but it's
the Golden Girls.
But it's them over time. And so we pop in on their annual vacation in the Outer Banks and we see their growth and then we see the sorrows in their lives. And Cheryl is fantastic. She plays the comedic element to everything. She's this sad sack school teacher who is kind of married poorly, but she has always got a funny line for everything. But of course, as they age, it ends up in the current year in 2019, and they're 77, and then it's all the trials of age.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So in the production, what age roughly does the play begin?
They are in their 40s.
44.
Yeah.
And then it's increments of it's not the same time year span, but we start at 44 and we end up at 77.
And they have been together though since they were teenagers in college somewhere in some fictional school in North Carolina where they're on the swim team together.
Oh, okay.
Therefore,
so they're
the
in
Dixie's,
the South and they were on the swim team together and
the
they
Dixie
just
swim
friendship
club.
Bonded.
So that was a big challenge for some of the actors to take that North Carolina accent. We did a lot of listening.
Not me.
And some people just already had.
Because no matter, I've become very self-conscious about it because I grew up and was raised in Sussex County. And everywhere my husband and I travel, it never fails. It will be somewhere. And they'll say, "What part of the South are you from?" And I say, "Well, Southern Delaware." And so that was not a stretch, believe me. So I felt very comfortable with that accent.
That's funny. I did grow up in the South. I grew up outside Nashville in Kentucky, and people are like, "You're from where?"
Well, you don't have a Southern accent.
I know, that's the thing. I don't have an accent. Well, we moved there when I was a little kid from Massachusetts, but I grew up there, and you know, the accents if you go to Kentucky and you say, "Oh, I'm Southerner from Delaware," they're going to look at you like you're crazy because that is definitely not considered the
not
South there.
The South.
But there's a certain very interesting way, of course, of thinking. And there's famous playwrights and comedies that have come out of the South and the Deep South. And this seems like one of those type of elements.
Yes.
Where humor is sort of blanketed around, you know, traumatic or different life events that we go through. And I think what's very interesting about this, I'm really looking forward to seeing it, is because there's the time element, and these are women that are all relating to each other through the eyes of women about these elements, I would imagine.
And what resonated with me, though, is I have those girlfriends who I may not have seen for years and then reconnect immediately. And that's the way it is for these five. Some of them live closer geographically, but they don't necessarily see each other. And so they come together for this long weekend and they are instantly right back where they were with both the loving support, but also the barbs and the humor.
And as with any friendships, you have five women that are completely different, completely different. And so that always adds an interesting element to the story. You know, we have the classic, you know, beauty that is only concerned with always remaining beautiful. We have the career-driven gal who is an attorney. We have the organizer who wants everything to be just perfect all the time. We have the innocent. And then we have the character that I play who is just a black cloud, just has followed her her whole life. She has a not-so-great marriage. Her kids are a disappointment. And so all those elements going together, but yet there is one common thing, and that is their love for each other.
It sounds like a beautiful storyline.
It it has, and I know this sounds so cliched, but everybody you talk to, oh, it's my favorite show. I'm getting to work with these fabulous people. But honestly, I can say this has been one of my favorite shows, and working with these other four women, and we've been together literally rehearsing and with Leslie there and our director since March. So
wow.
We have formed this incredible bond. So when you see us on stage acting kind of crazy and wacky together, that is how it's become.
That's how they are off stage.
Yeah.
So, Michael, for me, what's interesting is H. Barlow, Helen Barlow, is directing this, and she loved the play, and she asked me if I would be assistant director, and I have never done that.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been with Possums for 5 years since I moved here and done all kinds of backstage stuff, and I got to sit next to H as we went through auditions, and that was something new to me. And then as she chose the cast, and we started right away, as Cheryl said, with rehearsals in March, just doing read-throughs. And it is so cool to see the growth of these actors. And another thing that was intriguing to me is how they built their own backstories, trying to figure out why these characters were the way they were. And, you know, where did they come from in North Carolina? How did they come to have the feelings that they do? It was an intriguing thing with theater. And I'm not that theater kid. I had never done theater.
Oh, so this was a new experience for you on many levels. I mean,
yes.
Not only as an assistant director, we're like, oh, this is how the character development is right here. Who would have knew that?
Exactly.
I think it's pretty fascinating.
Because my background is education and then dabbling in art. And so this was just another, it's wonderful. I'm really grateful to H.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that leads me to a good question. Cheryl, when you created these backstories and the other cast members created their own, how did that make it into the character that you're presenting on the stage during the production?
Well, you start to think about it. Like, you know, you can't just all of a sudden become this person when you walk out on the stage. There was something in their lives that created the people that they have become. Because like Leslie said, it starts in college, but when the play starts, we're 44 years old. So, you know, you just start thinking about it. And we have read the script over and over and over again. And for me, my wacky character, she's actually an educated woman because she's a school teacher,
mm-hmm.
but she has been dealt some very serious things in her life that has made her kind of, not downtrodden, but she's just
certainly cynical.
Very cynical. And she kind of tries to use humor to get her past all that. And the other girls did the same thing, as, you know, creating what has happened in their life to make them the way they are, her stay the way they were in college, because some of them haven't moved too far away from that.
And so what was intriguing to me about that too is certainly theater is an entertainment, and this play is entertainment,
mm-hmm.
but I think this resonates with so many people because our actors have been able to flesh out who these people are. So they are somewhat stereotypical characters, but when you think about it, it's like we all have friends who have that aspect in their lives or that aspect in their lives, and you can
ex-husbands
see
and like, man, a lot of those.
That's a very good point. Because I guess one of my questions were people that would be seeing this show that were there last night and that will be there for the other runs of the production. What do you think their takeaway is going to be at the end? You know, when they're standing, giving the well-deserved applause, and they're, you know, people usually process, wow, that was, I really enjoyed this. But I find that people start thinking, you know, in a cerebral sense about what they've just seen. And what
good
do you
question.
Feel like that
do you want to answer?
Will be?
Well, we may have different perspectives on
okay,
that.
Yeah.
I was very, very excited last night to see so many men in the audience, because everybody was saying, oh, this must be a chick, you know, show and all that. But they were laughing because they get it. You know, they get these women. And gosh, now my mind's going off in a completely different direction. So go ahead, Leslie, and I'll think about what I was going to say.
Well, that's another good answer.
Remember.
So this is obviously men, women, people of all
yes.
ages, I imagine, can
yeah.
relate and enjoy this. So what is the common element, you think, on that level that they're able to say?
I think it's the love and the friendship and the aging, too,
mm-hmm.
recognizing the value of our friendships as we age. Mm-hmm. You know, they say mm-hmm. friends are the family you make for yourself. So I think that's what people will take away from that. And then also the humor. I mean, there's just some great stuff. There are some lines from Granny McFeely, who is the grandmother of one of our characters, Jerry Neal, the innocent. And it's very enjoyable, but it has that little bit of pathos where you just think about aging and how we connect with our friends and how we miss our friends when our friends aren't there.
That sounds lovely. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of the aging process, is this done through acting and makeup and accessories, or is it all character portrayal?
No, it's, you know, wigs and some facial makeup towards the end, mostly when we age to 77. But what is really is fun, and, you know, you don't stare at the audience, of course, because they call it breaking the third wall, but to hear when some of the comments are made on stage, some of the lines, and people in the audience going, yeah, isn't that the truth? Or, you know, been there, you know, something like that. That's always fun because, you know, that they're really thinking about their own life's experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important in the show, too, because everybody can relate. Something that is going on during those increments of years is going to touch somebody, you know. Leslie mentioned H. Barlow, and I tease her. I said, you're like Oprah and Cher. You only go by one initial. Her name's Helen, but nobody calls her Helen. It's H.
Oh, that's great.
You know, she's an icon, and she actually came out of retirement last year to direct California Suite, which I had the privilege of also being in, and she's phenomenal. I can't give her enough accolades. She's just wonderful, and she brings out the absolute best in everybody.
Well, you said earlier before we went on the air that you had practically a sold out house last night.
Yes,
which is great. And I would imagine that this seems like a play that would be just very popular. Would say, "Oh, you got to go see this production. You got to go see this production."
I hope so. So it's funny because I think we're. Especially here, people think, oh, Georgetown, that's so far away. But I'm thinking, you know what? You're going in the opposite direction of traffic.
Exactly.
It's a perfect place for a night out.
And there's free parking. You don't have to worry about paying
for parking. Well, it's a phenomenal
theater. And we have a bar.
Yeah.
And we have our homemade goodies tend to take care of.
Yeah.
We have a signature for everybody.
Yeah, we have a Dixie iced tea is our signature.
In fact,
drink.
I think the theater has been around since the late 70s, hasn't it?
36 years, I
believe. 1973.
Yeah, and that's incredibly impressive. And the theater itself, it's a wonderful environment to see a play.
Yeah, I think it had been a Boys and Girls Club or something, and then it was the theater group bought it and has.
Over the years, they've done quite a bit
of
renovation.
We just painted the lobby, updated the lobby completely, and that was thanks to the outside of the building, and that was thanks to donations. We had a fundraiser last year. It was a Motown show, which was fantastic, and those funds allowed us to then paint the theater because we are an all volunteer organization. So if you have extra money sitting in your pocket, you are welcome.
You know where to bring it.
You're welcome to go to our website and donate, or you're welcome just to come and volunteer.
Sure.
We are all volunteer. All of our work. It's so funny. Even my own kids said, "Well, Mama, you're working so hard on that. You know, you're getting paid." I said, "No.
It's good for my psyche.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And Michael, you've been to the theater."
I have. I've been to the theater. I've been on the stage of the theater. In fact, and I've told this story or variations of it many times over the years, but when I first moved to the area from Washington, D.C. 17 years ago, and I didn't know anybody. And I'm like, oh, look, there's a theater group around here. What's Possum Point Players? Because I had been involved in quite a bit of theater when I was in college back in Kentucky. I went, I saw there was an open audition for a show called Dial M for Murder, which people probably know the Hitchcock film from, and I got a part.
Jimmy Stewart, yeah.
And it was a lot of fun, and I made friends from that experience that I still have to this day from the theater, and it was just a phenomenal experience. And I'm always telling people, if you're near the area, if you're looking to get involved, if you want to make new friends, there's some wonderful opportunities connected to local theater here.
Yes.
For all aspects.
And I was a very shy person growing up.
And Steve Dotto's got a great headshot of you,
so
Cheryl.
My thought, yeah. You know, I got involved through my husband, who has been doing theater. Mm-hmm. He's lived in Georgetown for 30-some years, and he has been involved with his kids, just little roles. And I got involved really behind stage initially, and I did have one role. I had three lines in The Trial of Ebenezer Scrooge, which was really, it was, gave me a little taste. And boy, it was fun to dress up and to get into that character. I was Mrs. Bob Cratchit.
It is a lot of fun, and of course, not just acting. There's
that's what my
all
point
different
gonna be. Yes.
Elements
can,
of people.
Yes,
can
we
do.
Have Saturday mornings. We have the builders, the guys who come out with their. It's not all guys, but with their tool belts on, and they're mm-hmm. building the set. And we need painters, and we need artists. I would love. You just had an artist on here. I would love more artists. I've been doing a lot of the scenic art, but mm-hmm. It would be lovely to pull in more people into different shows.
There's a lot of moving parts in putting a show on.
Very much so.
Which is actually interesting, because this is a smaller cast show, mm-hmm. and I know that you've been in some huge cast shows, mm-hmm. and you've been doing, Cheryl, you've been in so many shows that I certainly can't keep track, but and not just with Boston Point Players, but many different theater organizations.
Did you bring your
resume? Around this. Very long resume.
But like, there are five of us in this cast, and of the five of us, four I have worked with before, and there's one new girl to the area. Her name is Beth DeGrasso. And this, we worked recently. There was a Fund for Women benefit, and we were in that. It was just a staged reading, and that was her first thing that she had done since she moved here. Mm-hmm. And one of Donna DeKuyper,
who you have, great friend,
you
she's
have
phenomenal.
Interviewed several times, mentioned to her, you know, we're having auditions for, you know, this play, Dixie Swim Club. You should come. Well, she came. And she was cast. She's fabulous. And so she's met, you know, a whole new group of people, you know, that she really wouldn't have known before. But that is her, theater is her passion, too. Mm-hmm. She, you know, where she lived, she did a lot of it. And so she's certainly not new to that. But so she's like one of the family now, because that's what I consider. I mean, community theater is different. I've worked with, you know, the professional theater here in town too, and which is fabulous, but it's a totally different experience. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, you do everything on your own. You know, after the show is over, we are responsible for striking the
gotta
set.
Break it, strike the set, take
before
it all out,
you was,
take it all
I was
apart.
Sweeping the
yep.
theater
before
last night,
you can
yeah.
eat, before you can have your cast party, you strike the set, and then right away, you know, another thing is starting to happen right after we close. So it's community theater is a fabulous way to get involved, and it's a fabulous, any type of theater is fabulous for
it's
a so child.
It's just enriching. It is. Mm-hmm.
Because it gives, you know, your children, it makes them articulate and not afraid to get up in front of people, and that's how I got started back into it. When my son was 10, who will be turning 25, when he started back into it, he got me back into it, and boy, it's just...
Hey, and we do have summer camps. We have We have drama camp for 2nd through 5th graders and theater camp for 6th through 10th graders, and that's in July, and you can just go to the
phenomenal.
Theater. And
I think you bring up a really good point, Cheryl, especially for children, kids today, because I don't want to sound like one of those, well, back in my day, I'm not one of those people, right? But so many kids are so buried in their phones.
Absolutely.
That I think that the ability to communicate on a one-on-one, let's talk to each other and look each other in the eye and have a meaningful exchange of communication, that's getting lost in that process. But theater, in my opinion, is a fantastic way to help build that.
Yes.
So if there are parents out there with kids that are concerned about that or that want to help them explore and understand the nature of communication, as you said, the importance of being able to stand up and have a conversation without fear and intimidation and anxiety, this is a phenomenal way to do it.
Yeah, and I think we would all agree that the arts are not getting the presence they need in school. My background is elementary education, but I feel like it's not happening all along. And drama, it's like, what a fantastic way. I just kicked myself that I didn't know about this when I was in school.
Well, you know, I'm glad to see groups like Possum Point Players, because, and I do know that the training classes that you you have over the summer, I hear people rave about them.
That's great.
Which is great.
We, so have, like, we, have a, we have several affiliate mm-hmm. groups too. So I, Possums Juniors are coming up in July with Annie, and that is student directed and student run.
And they, oh, fantastic.
They did.
Fantastic.
I wasn't around for last year's show, but the year before was the Addams Family, and it was fantastic. It is just incredible what they do. And they do have a dog who's going to be in Annie.
That's
and
so then important.
We also have, so that's for kids, not kids and high schoolers, but then we have a Shakespeare Players group who's going to be doing Merry Wives of Windsor in later this month. As soon as we're done, they're going to be there. We have an On the Edge group, which does more edgy shows, and they're doing Rhymers of Eldritch in October. We have a Dreamers United group that meets, and we also have Radio Theater Company that performs Sunday nights at 7.
So. Yes, you do, and that's out of 99.1 FM, Radio Rehoboth.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
That's for people who really enjoy theater but don't want to deal with having to memorize that's things anymore.
Get to read
or literally
it.
Being on stage. Yeah, are you broadcasting that from the stage, or are you going into the
they go into the studio mm-hmm. I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They must take their
I would like to get involved
in
I've always been I'm like oh that
you
sounds
have,
like
you
fun
have a fabulous voice.
Well, I think that would just and yeah. I love those old yeah. radio programs.
Well, radio people have that wonderful voice, you know?
But I think that'd be a really fun thing to do. And you have a season that runs until,
yes, we have 5 shows, and then we have 5 main stage shows, and the next one will be Arsenic and Old Lace in September.
Everybody's,
and then there's a Christmas
of.
Show, Christmas from the Heart.
Fantastic. I know we just have a couple of minutes left. It's the Dixie Swim Club. It's on stage. It's this weekend and next weekend, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Our Sundays are basically sold out, mm-hmm. but go on the website and see. And if you're desperate, just show up at the theater, because sometimes
there
are
know.
Seats. You never know. Yeah.
Standing room only. SRO, as they say, right? You get a back row seat to that. You can get tickets. The best place, I imagine, is on your website, possumpointplayers.org.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Exactly.
And of course, you can call the box office.
Yeah. And that'll take you to Brown Paper Tickets. If you want to call the box office, and Dawn can help you figure out seats, Dawn mm-hmm. or Gail.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So again, this is, and let's see. So it's the cast, it's you, Cheryl,
yes.
Jill Lewandowski, Audrey
Killen.
Mm-hmm. Kat Baker, and Beth DeGrasso. She's yes. the newest
yes.
member of the theater thing.
That's Beth.
I'm just really excited about this show. Congratulations
Thank
on
you.
Your opening night.
Thank
and
you so
and
much.
You guys did really, really well. And you've already got all your Sundays sold
yes.
out. That's
yes.
that's impressive,
yes.
too.
And tonight, yes. I think there's only 12 seats left. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So
wow.
We're really happy. It's my husband, who is, he's not a critic, but he, you know, he will
you have to think about that way.
He will tend to tell me, you know, and he came last night, and he'll be there again Sunday. So, and he just, oh, it's wonderful. It was really fun. And it's another good thing. Sometimes people, you know, get a little antsy if the shows run long or whatever. And this show runs about 2 hours.
Yeah,
so it's,
yeah.
it moves very quickly.
Nice.
And
our
stage,
intermission?
Our stage crew,
yes,
is quite entertaining.
Minutes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Stage crew. Yeah. Including my husband.
Yes.
I just want to put that out.
There you go. Gonna give the husband a shout out here. Yeah, what it sounds
it
like.
Takes a village.
Well, we just got a few seconds left. Thank you both very, very much.
Thank
I really
you.
Appreciate it. I urge everyone to come out there to the theater and see the show. It's the Possum Point Players in Georgetown. And the website is Possum Point.